Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on Sunday afternoon, February 4th, 2024. My guests today are a couple of champs and a champion in my heart, Corey Ryan Forrester, Carlos Rodriguez, and Eliza Skinner. Hi, Happy New Year.
Hi.
Hey.
Happy New Year, Doug.
Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, as I like to do, by first name. Sorry, Eliza. We first met him in Sacramento. Now he's in Lajas Vegas, where I will be actually on March 1st and 2nd, but more about that later. It's Carlos Rodriguez.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Are you pumped, Carlos, that the big game, they like to call it, is going to be played in Las Vegas? You don't need all that extra heat on the town that you live in, right? It's going to be crazy next weekend in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts. And then on top of that too, it's two teams I can't stand. I'm a Raider fan, and they're Niners, and it's the Chiefs. They're both our rivals, and I can't.
Hey, go Raiders.
All right. He is a returning champion from last week's show. It's Corey Ryan Forrester.
Hey, Doug, I wanted to let you know that I'm wearing a diaper just for you.
Oh, okay. Our next guest. Why is it just for me? I don't know why I deserve the honor.
Well, Doug, because before I came on this podcast with you, I had recorded two other podcasts back to back, and I had a couple beverages, and I was like, I'm not going to ruin Doug's podcast by A, having to get up to pee, or B, not concentrating and giving it my best by having to hold in a pee. So I went and put on a diaper so I could just go for it whenever I wanted to. So that's what's going on.
All right. Well, you know, I still have the sad feeling that you'll let us know somehow if you're relieving yourself. So
I'll turn my video on so you can see my relief.
No, I don't like it. I was just going to ask if you were, you know, ready to come down from the high of being a champion.
Yes, I'm definitely ready. Listen, it's been a complete folly that I have won as many times as I have, and I'm thoroughly ready to be exposed for how much luck has gone into any of these victories. So can't wait. Y'all prepare for to beat the poop out of me.
Well, we've got another winner joining us. It's Eliza Skinner. Hey, Eliza.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a few weeks since you won over at the Improv Lab in Hollywood.
Yeah,
You think you still have what it takes to win again today?
Absolutely not. No. I haven't seen any movies. I know nothing. I'm a real fool.
You're a real foolish blank slate, ready to go. And you'll probably just ask politely if you need to use the restroom.
Oh, I'm on the toilet right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is Carlos the only one that prepared properly by just not having a lot of water today?
Oh, well, it's raining out. I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like really, a choice.
It is raining in the Southland, so we're getting hit hard right now. So this is the perfect time to podcast from indoors. And before we play our games today, it's Recommendation Nation time. And since the Superest of Bowls is almost upon us, it's 1 week away, and everyone except for Carlos is excited about it.
I'm amped.
I'm all depressed.
Yeah, I would like each of you this week to please recommend a, and I don't know if your tastes, any of you even like these kind of movies, but so people can, you know, maybe watch a movie about football that they haven't seen before. Like, it could be old, new, classic, or obscure, but please, starting with Carlos, please recommend a football movie.
Football movie, I would say to check out. It's pretty old, actually. It's called The Program, and it's James Caan. Remember that?
Yeah. Of course I heard of that one. That was the movie that was so controversial because, you know, as like a hazing exercise or something, the football players would lay in the middle of the street, and then some copycat youngsters did it and then ended up getting run down. And so the movie was in trouble like right away for, encouraging kids to do this weird thing.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And then the scene's not in it no more. They took that scene out.
Oh, okay. So now it's safe. Now it's just about your normal concussions and whatnot that occur.
Yeah. Getting yelled at. Catch a ball.
But it's a pretty intense movie. You know, James Caan's always an intense actor, so I'm sure it's an interesting watch. Mm. Okay.
Oh, that's why I know that.
Yeah. Corey, what do you think? Do you have a...
I sure do. Listen, I'm probably going to get made fun of for this, but I don't care. I don't think there is ever a bad time to rewatch The Waterboy. It is a fantastic movie. It is full of ha-has and, you know, a pretty accurate portrayal of how college football goes down, in my opinion. Just full of silliness, and Jerry Reed gives one of the more Oscar snubbed performances in all of cinema.
Well, Jerry Reed was just, he was a gem in general. He was always a delight to watch in all those Burt Reynolds movies.
But, unbelievable.
This one, he got away from Burt and just, got into the Adam Sandler universe. I find Kathy Bates to be very entertaining in The Waterboy.
Oh, unbelievable. And Jerry Reed actually, in that movie, one of the greatest quotes, one of the most poignant quotes, actually, that I still think about to this day, and I think that people could use in their day-to-day life, Jerry Reed says, and I quote, and really think about this because it's deep, he says, "The only thing better than a crawfish dinner is five crawfish dinners. Think about that. Think about that for a second. It's really true if you think about it, you know?
But you got to think about it.
You have to think about it. But it is true.
Put your mind to it.
Yeah.
Like, but what, wouldn't six dinners be better? Or is that,
let's not think about it too hard. You know what I mean?
I mean, the only thing, like, he must have figured out that five is exactly the amount of dinners you'd want to have you just get sick of it.
Yeah.
Or it would be out of season or something.
Yeah, it'd just be too much crawfish.
I thought you were going to, when you say you're going to quote Waterboy, I thought it was going to be at least something that sounds like the person saying it has a mouthful of marbles.
No. Farmer
the
Fran.
The accents are so funny.
We live a pie on our day.
Yeah, there you go. So you know how to do it.
Of course I do.
All right. Well, Eliza, where are you, is there even a football movie that you enjoy? It just doesn't really feel to me like that would be in your wheelhouse, but
yes,
what do you think?
Of course. I would pick Concussion.
Another one with weird accents.
Speaking of accents, why do you enjoy that film so much?
Okay, no, I was kidding. That was a joke.
Okay,
I would pick a more uplifting one, like Friday Night Lights.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, right. Spawned a whole TV show. Same wife, both times.
Yeah. The wife stayed the same, but pretty much everything else was different. And you know, no Billy Bob in the TV show, but
yeah, you can't get Billy Bob for TV money.
No, not until those highfalutin miniseries came along. Then they got his attention. But regular TV series was just going to struggle. That's not what he's about.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Once you got like Fargo's, which is basically our new Battle of the Network Stars, it's prestige to be in there with all the other big time guys. But anyway, yeah.
But Friday Night Lights, the TV series was always, it felt like it was always in danger of being canceled. And of course, eventually it was, but a kind of a gentler version of the movie. The movie's a little bit more intense than the series, but the series, of course, had its moments as well, especially with Jesse Plemons murdered a guy in season two.
Season two was wild.
Booby made me cry in the movie big time.
It did?
Yeah. You Booby did, yeah. Hey, Doug, did I tell you that I'm writing a movie? I have a screenplay written about, it's an Air Bud style movie about an alien that plays football. It's called CTET. That was bad.
Did you think about recommending that movie instead of the one?
I should have. I don't like to pump my own work, you know.
Right, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. It's just a script at this point.
Yeah, right.
We didn't pick any NFL movies. They're all college and high school football movies. That's pretty crazy.
Oh, that is interesting.
I talked about Draft Day the last podcast we did, so I didn't want to do that again.
I was going to say Rudy, but then I figured, you know, it's going to be played all week, I assume, leading up to it. So.
Or even Little Giants. I like that one. That was good.
That's a good one.
Well, I'm more of a baseball movie kind of person, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's also
different sport.
I'm proud of you for not, you know, I just didn't know. Anytime a lady guests on the program, there's a good chance she'll say sports, fuck off.
Yeah, well, it depends on if we're PMSing. Am I right, ladies?
I wish there were more than one lady here so someone could at the very least nod in agreement. But these are great. I think these are three great suggestions, because if anybody's into football, wants to get, like, you know, pumped up for Sunday. I mean, I'm going to watch the Taylor Swift documentary to prepare for Sunday because that's what that day is going to be all about, ultimately, because she's overshadowing everything, as she should. Thank you for these recommendations. We will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and we're going to play some games. You know, game day, as they like to call it, is a week away, but we're going to play some games right now. The first one today is called Permission Granted. I will name a movie, and this game's not necessarily about consent. I just realized. I'll name a movie. It's just a stupid pun. Permission granted means I'm going to name a movie, and then you tell me if it featured Cary Grant, Hugh Grant, or Richard E. Grant. Three amazing actors. And, you know, there's no role too small for any of these dudes except for when Hugh Grant plays an Oompa Loompa. Carlos will be up first. I'll name a movie, and he'll guess between those three names. If he misses, then Corey gets a shot. And if Corey misses, Elisa gets the gimme point. But, of course, whenever somebody gets one right, the next person will go first in the next round. Make sense, Carlos?
Yeah.
Right on. The first movie, and Carlos is the first one to guess, is a motion picture called Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Mm-hmm. Which one of those actors do you think appeared in that film? Cary Grant, Hugh Grant, or Richard E. Grant?
Hugh Grant.
That, hang on a second, is correct.
Okay, cool.
Whew. I had to grab the whistle. It was right next to my my unused diapers. I didn't put them on today, but they are standing by. Carlos out of the gate figured that one out. Hugh Grant has a small cameo as
the boyfriend.
The boyfriend of Benoit Blanc.
Benoit Blanc.
Yeah, speaking of that accent,
it's great.
Adam Sandler will be in the next Knives Out movie as a relative of Benoit Blanc.
Benoit Blanc.
Yeah.
As a Southerner, we take no offense to that, I promise.
My Southern mom is real mad about it.
Oh, really?
It's a past. It's fun. And she's like, well, it's not what we sound like. And I'm like, everybody knows that.
What part of the South is your mom from?
Virginia.
Okay. Well, you know what's funny? Because I was going to say, oh, he's doing like an aristocratic Virginia thing. Who gives a shit? But that's actually, it's more like Savannah. You know, it's more it's like Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil shit. Like, I get it. But like, to me, it's so refreshing for someone to be doing a Southern accent in the movie. And it's not like, hey, how y'all doing? Let's fuck a possum.
Exactly. You know? It's not like, hey, yeah, it's my grandma's sister.
Yeah, so it's just fun.
Yeah, I like it.
It's not for everybody. Some people are seeking out realism in their Knives Out movies.
Yeah, everything else, absolutely believable.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's we're on to the next one, and Corey gets to go first.
Oh boy.
Carlos already has a point. He's on the board. This is your chance, Corey.
Okay.
The motion picture is called, which one of those dudes was in Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, well, it's not Cary Grant. Can you tell me if it was the old Alice in Wonderland or the...
I can tell you that it's a motion picture.
Damn it.
Called Alice in Wonderland.
I really hate you. Okay. Okay. Well, if it's the new, like the 2015 one or something, then I would say probably Hugh Grant. But if it's the 1960s one, then maybe Cary Grant played a voice, but I don't know that he would have done that. Should I split it and say Richard E. Grant? I'm gonna split it and say Richard E. Grant because I don't know Richard E. Grant.
That's incorrect.
Yeah, I figured.
Eliza, do you think it's Cary Grant or Hugh Grant that was in a Alice in Wonderland film?
There have been so many. I'm gonna go Cary. Put a different Grant on the board. Cary Grant.
That is correct.
Son of a butt.
you were on to me there, but this is the funny part. Is you were thinking the animated Alice in Wonderland, but there was a previous live action Alice in Wonderland in 1933.
Well,
in which Cary Grant, I assume a very young Cary Grant, plays Mock Turtle.
What? Well,
yeah,
stick a fork in my butt and let me cry about it.
Maybe that's why you know, later in his career, you'd often see him in a mock turtleneck.
That's true. I never thought that was an homage.
Yeah, it wasn't just because he had a turkey neck. All right, damn. We're back around to Carlos, and the next film that features Cary Grant, Hugh Grant, or Richard E. Grant is L.A. Story.
Okay.
Oof.
L.A. Story.
Which one do you think was in that?
That's Martin Sheen. No, Martin. Yeah, no, not Martin. No. Is that Steve Martin? Yeah. L.A. Story? And then Hugh. It has to be Hugh. That was like when he was hot, like in that era. Right?
Incorrect.
Ah! That sound.
Corey?
Cary Grant was probably dead, so I'll go Richard E. Grant.
You and your logic, it's crazy.
That's hey!
Yeah.
You're on the board. We've got everybody's got a point. We're playing to 3 points. Eliza's next. Mm-hmm. And the film is The Little Vampire.
What?
I'd tell you more about it, but there's no clues. It's just something called The Little Vampire.
Well, I feel like a real fool because I love vampire media and I have no idea what this is. Since I have no idea what it is, I'm going to guess it's not Hugh Grant. It's either some obscure old Cary Grant or a weirdo movie that Richard E. Grant did because he loves doing a weirdo movie. And I'm going to hope it's that. So I'm going to pick Richard E. Grant.
Well, I loved your logic. You really worked it out. We heard the math and you're correct. Richard E. Grant has a supporting role in The Little Vampire starring a then hot Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh,
as a little vampire.
Oh boy, Richard E. Grant really loves doing a weird movie.
Doug, you killed
him.
Me.
All right, so Eliza got a second point. We're back to Carlos. Carlos, which one of those gentlemen appears in Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties?
It would have to be, I say he's Garfield's probably watching something on television, and it's an old-timey movie probably, or old French, or old American movie in French subtitling it, and it'd be Cary Grant.
That is a very interesting guess by an interesting guesser. Incorrect, though.
Ah.
Corey.
Wow. Man, well, now it's shit.
Oh, did it happen? Is it a good thing you have the diaper on?
Someone make a bubble.
Hold, please.
You guessed it was Cary Grant on... I'm going to say Richard E. Grant.
Is it in Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties?
Yeah, why not?
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Look, nice. Be a lady tonight.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not, you know, a Garfield completist, so
me
I didn't
either.
See that one. I feel like Jennifer Love Hewitt might be in it, and or no, anyway, it's Bill Murray is still the voice of Garfield even after the first one. Like, it feels like they had him really locked into a contract or something. Congratulations on figuring that one out. And Eliza, this is for the win.
Oh, Jesus,
if you know this,
okay.
Which one was in The Hitman's Bodyguard?
What's funny is I did commercials, promos for this movie, and have never seen it. It's a blind guess. Gonna take Cary Grant out of the running. We haven't heard from Hugh for a while, so I'm gonna go with Hugh Grant.
I always like your logic, but incorrect. It's not you. Carlos?
I'm gonna go with Richard because I haven't used him yet.
That is correct.
Right.
You did it.
That's my logic.
Yeah, he's in there. He's a prolific actor, and that's another one. I don't even know if he's in Hitman's Bodyguard's Bodyguard or whatever the hell they called the sequel.
Hitman's Bodyguard's wife.
Yeah, that's really. It.
And her lover.
And her lover. Yeah. And the chef. We've got a three-way tie. And Corey, you're up next. If you get this right, you win permission granted.
Boy.
And that means you can do whatever you want for the rest of the day. But if you miss, then Eliza could swoop in and get it.
Oh, boy.
Which one of them, Richard E. Grant, Cary Grant, or Hugh Grant, is in Paddington 2?
Oh, my God. That's Hugh. That's Hugh. That's
no,
definitely
I'm not,
Hugh.
I'm not in it. It's between.
That is Hugh. That's Hugh Grant
is the correct answer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You did it. Congratulations, Corey. Hugh Grant gave perhaps the, one of his finest performances.
Agreed.
In Paddington 2. And then that's why he's the Oompa Loompa in the Wonka movie. Is, well, not exactly why, but I'm sure it has a lot to do with it because the same director. Made Paddington 2 and Wonka.
Can I take this moment to scoff Doug Loves Movies alum Brandon Collins for being the sole reason that Paddington 2 doesn't have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and say that he should burn in hell forever?
Well, here's the thing. I told you could do whatever you want, so permission granted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you did do exactly what you wanted there, and it's too late to take it back. But here's the thing about Rotten Tomatoes is that whenever it's like 99% or whatever, people are like, who's that one a-hole that didn't like it?
It was Brandon Collins.
But he didn't hate it, right? He gave it a mixed review. And he that's what pulled the rating down.
Right, but he gave it like 2 out of 5 or two out of... No, he gave it rotten. He gave it rotten, Doug.
He did?
Yes, he gave it rotten. Yes, he came on my podcast, Putting On Airs, which comes out wherever you get your podcast, and told us that it sucked. And I scorned him.
I gotta say that I'm one of the people that does not understand why people love the Paddington movies so much. I think they're good and I think they're excellent for children, but I don't, for me, that's why I haven't seen Wonka yet, because I don't know. It just feels
They're for children, which means an adult named Brandon Collins shouldn't fucking talk shit about them on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is this person a professional reviewer?
He's a professional asshole, is what he is.
Get that gig.
I mean, you're so passionate about Paddington 2, you barely remember Hugh Grant is in it, and he's like the main villain.
By the way, Brandon, if you're listening, I love you very much, but you're a butthead.
I think that, I think Paddington needed to be taken down a slight notch.
Okay, that's fair.
Because 100% is not right, because I just don't think that movie's for everybody. I do think it leans more towards children or people who just really like, little talking bears.
Well, consider me those people.
Yeah, there you go. Well, congratulations, Corey. You not only won, you got a plug-in for your podcast early. It's all coming together for you. But we're going to find out how you do in our next and final game, the big one. We're going to find out right after the break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back. And how are you holding up, Corey? You could have ran to the restroom then.
Oh, I'm totally fine, Doug.
Well, I'm glad you stuck around for the advertisements, because I figure you're probably in the market for some Blue Chew.
Oh, yeah. We also promote that on our podcast, Putting On Airs.
It should be like a combination, sexual stimulant, but also it should just be like, they should really step into the chew aspect of it and make it like chewing tobacco.
I agree.
You could it just in between your cheek and gum, ready to go.
That would be good for the people who sound like me.
All right. So you won the last game, Corey, but as you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means you get to go first in our final, our next game. And of course, I had to do this. This game is called the Benson Bowl. 1 week out, as I said earlier, so we're going to play a game in which it's up to you to guess which films from the list, from the history of cinema, according to good old Entertainment Weekly magazine. Is it still a magazine or is it just an online thing? These are the 10, 20, let's go 20, 20 best football movies of all time, according to Entertainment Weekly. So Corey will guess first, and then we switch the order around. So Corey's going to go first, then Carlos, and then Eliza, and we're going to do 3 rounds of guesses. If you guess a football movie that's number 1, you'd get 20 points for that. If you guess the one that's number 20, you get 1 point. And then there's all those points in between. And of course, no points if you name a football movie, because there's a lot of them in the history of cinema, but only 20 of them made this list. Three rounds, whoever has the most points will be the winner. Corey, are you ready?
I sure am ready.
I bet your mind is racing because you know a lot of movies that have football in them.
I sure do.
You're trying to think which ones are considered the best according to Entertainment Weekly. What's all your right. first guess? You're going to get three cracks at it, but you got to wait your turn after you give us your first guess.
I'm really trying to think what's not my favorite, but what is something a pedantic website magazine would think is.
Before you say anything, let me just make it a little easier for you. Neither of the Paddington films made this list.
Okay, god damn it. Because they call it football there, not soccer. That's unfortunate. I'm going to go with Rudy. They think Rudy's number one.
I mean, it already came up in conversation earlier today. And so I personally would have been surprised to not see Rudy on the list. But what surprises me about it is that it's number two on the list.
Ooh, do I get points for that?
You sure do. You get 19 points right out of the gate. You've got, 20 is the most you can get in any round, and you got 19. So congratulations for knowing about Rudy. I still question why everybody thinks it's such a great football movie, because it celebrates failure and mediocrity. Yeah. Yes.
Couldn't agree more.
So maybe everybody's just a real fantasy football situation that people just go, wow, if only I could be a kid that plays in one play and gets carted around on everybody's shoulders like he did something good. And Vince Vaughn is there along with Jon Favreau. All right. I don't know if that's where they met, but probably.
Yeah.
Carlos.
Yes.
It's your turn.
Okay.
Name any football movie and hope that it's on the list.
I'm going to go
the higher, the better. I like
super old school. It's the movie they based on, like, I think it was like the Dallas Cowboys or some shit like that about, and it was like North, something like North 40 Dallas or North something Dallas. Is that close?
I prefer answers where you know the name of the movie, but I will tell you that you're super close on that one.
Is it 44 or North? it's something like 70.
I think you don't know the name of this movie.
No, it's old. It's hella old. And
yeah, it's got Nick Nolte and Mac Davis.
Yeah,
and, yes, I think it's probably based on a book that was popular. But can you think of another football movie if you can't come up with the right exact title for that one?
Another football movie. Another one. The Marky Mark movie. Invincible.
What's that called?
Invincible, right? That's Invincible.
Invincible with Marky Mark, as his character name is Vince.
Yeah.
So that's why the movie's called Invincible, because he's easy to get inside of. Bull. and it is on the list. Congratulations, Carlos. Nice. It's number 16 on the top 20 football movies, according to Edub, and that's worth 5 points. You are on the board. Still anybody's game. Eliza, what have you got? What have you been thinking? You've been listening?
Well, I mean, I know so many.
Right. It's hard to choose.
Yeah. So I'm going to double back and say Friday Night Lights.
Good answer.
Nice. I don't think it's a terrible answer at all.
No, I'm confident.
That's what I was going to say next.
Yeah. Corey was ready to swipe that one up, but thank God you got to it first, Eliza. It is number 4 on the list.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
And it's worth a whopping 17 points. Now you're only 2 points behind Corey. Thanks to good old Friday Night Lights.
This is a real Rudy kids. Situation for me.
I thought it was about kids who were scared of the dark on Fridays. You know, like latchkey kids, the parents stay out late.
When did you realize that it wasn't? Were you already in the movie theater?
They need night lights. Okay. Corey, your turn once again. Do not make a mistake here because you've got to maintain your lead.
Let's go with a movie that it's funny. I don't know if a lot of people even it is a football movie, but it's more a love movie.
Love movie.
Yeah, it's more a love movie. It actually spawned one of the greatest country songs of the 90s, You Had Me From Hello, by Kenny Chesney. He wrote that song after seeing this movie and then ended up marrying Renee Zellweger, ironically. And that is the movie based on, I believe it's Drew Rosenhaus, the NFL shark agent. That is Jerry Maguire.
Well, okay, first of all, as moving forward, I don't need so much information about the film. But...
hey, don't you love movies, motherfucker? I thought you loved them.
I do. It was That's also why crafted I knew by... most of what you were talking about. But I didn't know, I swear to you, because I'm not, you know, obviously, maybe not obviously, but I'm not a country western music fan per se. Mm-hmm. So I was just learning just now that there's a song called
You had me from hello. Yeah. Yeah. Kenny Chesney wrote it in the 90s.
That seems like some top tier stalker shit to get her to marry him.
Yeah.
Like he wrote that song because he had a crush on her, right? Like he just liked the line.
He just liked the line.
You know, he just likes when a screenwriter gives him a great line for a song. Yeah. He doesn't have to do dick.
Yeah, exactly. And then they ended up getting divorced. And the rumor is that it was irreconcilable differences. And in the country music business, the rumor was like that Kenny Chesney's gay. I don't know if I believe that, but, you know, whatever.
Isn't that the rumor about like every popular
of
country
course.
Artist?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
You know what? You like something? What if it's gay?
What if it's gay?
Yeah, that might be gay.
They say that Travis Kelce is gay for dating Taylor Swift because that's gay.
Yeah.
That one's amazing. That's really great.
Wild
stretch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he must be gay if he's dating that.
I don't know if enough people like even think about Jerry. Like, again, I know it's a football movie, but it's more about the innards of football, you know?
Well, that's why I think that it did so well in this particular list, because it's the football movie that everybody can go, oh, I at least I like one football movie, because as you say, there's football in it, but not much football.
It's mostly about being shown the money of football, correct?
Being shown the money.
And it's about, corporate America and all that jazz. So, it's a kind of an office comedy at the beginning. So it is number one on the
list. Fuck Jerry out of here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what happens when you put Jonathan Lipnicki in your football movie.
Not in your vampire movies, though.
I think subconsciously that's why I thought about it. Because earlier you had said back when a hot Jonathan Lipnicki. I swear to God, that's why I thought about it.
I swear he got Little Vampire off the heat of Jerry Maguire.
Oh my God.
That made that kid huge. Okay, so Corey is really killing it. We need to, for Carlos and Eliza to really put some points on the board here. You've had a little time to think about it, Carlos. Have you thought of another film that has football in it?
Yeah. So this one sparked the song from Big Daddy Kane. No, and the craft services that was at this movie was also inspired by. No, I got to do a little strategic moves. So I'm going to say a movie that might be on there twice because it has been remade, and it's The Longest Yard.
There you go. Al Ruddy produced.
Okay, yeah. Hang on a second. So, I know you love Al Ruddy, Corey, but you don't have to bring him up every time. there's a trick to this one, and you stepped right into it, Carlos. You pointed out that the film was made twice, so now you have to tell me which one you think is on the list. Is it the one from 1974 or 2005? This is just Carlos.
Oh, so
to answer that question,
there's both.
I'm saying there's two of them. I'm not telling you where either of them landed, either on the list or off of it.
Even if they're both on, they'll have a different post. They'll have a different point value.
Yes.
I was trying to get all the points. I was trying to get double points on one go. Damn it!
Oh, that is fun. I wish I'd devised it that way, but unfortunately, you have to pick which one of the two.
And then I'm going to go hope for the best. Reynolds. I'm going to go old school Burt Reynolds. That's my boy.
You're going Burt Reynolds, 1974, Longest Yard.
Yeah.
That is number 8 on the list.
Nice.
There you go.
Congratulations. That's some big points there. That's 13 points. It's getting you in range. Eliza's already got 17 points, so if you Eliza could pick another one that's up there, you could really give Corey a run for his money. You could show him his money and then run with it.
Okay. What were the ones that people said at the beginning?
Oh, earlier in the show. Hey, I can't help you that way.
I do. Water Boy.
Hey, damn you.
Now that's what's cracking me up is that Corey hasn't gone for Water Boy.
Well, I was trying to win.
I know there's a lot of football movies with days of the week in them, but I'm gonna count on this Water Boy choice instead. Water Boy.
I like it. It's number 14 on the list.
Really?
And it's okay. Worth, yes, for Waterboy gets 7 more points for Eliza Skinner.
Oh, boy.
Anybody can win this thing, Corey. You gotta cement your lead here by coming up with a good one.
Okay, let's go with the first football. One of my favorites and the first one that I ever whooped it to on VHS, Varsity Blues.
Oh, nice. Now,
you spanked yourself?
because of the hot for teacher scene. We had it on VHS. My buddy Jared, his older brother, he was just a couple years older than us, but he was in high school, so he had all the cool stuff, you know. And he had this VHS, and he's like, yo, there's a scene where the teacher, you know, they find out she's a stripper. And, buddy, we wore that sumbitch out.
I give it a fucking 10.
I ended up, but God rest that dude's soul, I ended up taking acting lessons from him a couple times, I'll go with Varsity Blues. A wonderful acting turn there from John Voight and James Vanderbeek and all those guys. Varsity Blues.
It's an intense movie.
It's great.
It's almost like Friday Night Lights in the way that it kind of highlights the danger and the obnoxiousness of your typical football players.
Yeah. Best line in the movie, she looks like she fell off the I Want to Suck Your Dick tree and hit every branch on the way down. Oh, man.
That's just, you know, that is just it's bad enough to say she fell out of the pretty tree and hit every branch, but then to add that extra disgusting,
dude, come on, it's great. It's great.
I like when he's like, I don't want your life.
I don't want your, dude. The Texas accents in there are insane.
It's brutal. But it's a great movie if you enjoy whipped cream, right? Isn't that
the
whipped cream bikini?
Yep.
The movie's got it all, it's got something for everybody.
Sure does.
Does it?
Especially jerks.
We probably should let the woman talk right now.
Does it? Okay.
Well, Paul Walker was there. He was in it.
It doesn't. I was being sarcastic. Okay, Carlos. what do you think could possibly
Wait, was that on the list? You didn't say.
Oh, I apologize because I don't want you to get any more points.
Oh.
So I'm not going to tell you. No, it's number 10 on the list.
Hey. Oh, wow. Dang,
of the greatest football movies. And so it was worth 11 points, which, you know, brings you to a pretty staggering number. I'm not going to call it right now, but
I feel like it's a pretty good number at this point.
It's right. It's really close to unbeatable.
Mathematically, okay.
Yeah, mathematically and also just ethically. But no one else deserves to win. But Carlos.
Yes.
Let's get some more points on the board just for the hell of it. What do you think for your third guess?
All right. I'm mulling over The Replacements right now. And I'm all and Little Giants and North Dallas 40. Is that what it is?
Yes. It's called okay. North Dallas 40.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to go with that one then. Yeah. Now that I got it. Now that I got it right. Yeah.
Now that you finally got it, I'm glad that we made the effort because it didn't make the list at all.
That sucks.
Shit, that was the other one I had written down.
Yeah, when Carlos was stumbling through it, I was like, well, if he gets it right, he's still not going to get any points. But I'm glad you figured it out just for your own mental health. But
yeah.
I think it was like number, like it's a, cause it's a really long list. I think they go five or 10 more than 20. So I think it was acknowledged. So it was a decent pick, but just not in the top 20. Eliza, what do you think for your final guess?
I think, you know, we're getting down to the dregs of the football movies I know. And I feel like 10 years ago, The Blind Side would have been on this list.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would be now. So I'm going to go back to my original choice on the show, Concussion.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you because
you
eliminated Blindside accurately. This list was written,
right?
By the way, last fall or winter. So you know, probably when football season was getting started. And so Blindside, of course, has been blindsided by reality and everything. Finding out that family was not what was
going on. Yeah, the guy's in like a conservatorship or something, right?
Yes. No, it was really not a good situation.
Following up the Free Britney with We Don't Like Blindside Anymore movement.
Yeah. So, and then also just, it's so funny to me how well a movie about concussions and how dangerous football is even on this list at all, because it's not celebrating football in any way. But not only is it on the list, it is number 3 on the list.
Oh,
nice. I gotta watch that.
I was so excited when Eliza said it earlier in the show, because I was like, oh man, I didn't think anyone would even think of this movie.
Look, I worked for Totally Biased. This is where I come into the room.
Oh, did you really? That shit. Oh, dude, I love your work.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. That's awesome. I'm not worthy of being here with you.
Oh, you definitely are.
No.
Yeah, Corey.
Well, you're winning this game.
Because you won the game, but Eliza brought it close. It was merely 8 points behind you, so that was very impressive. Play
about woke logic I got.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, for real though, I love what y'all do. That is so awesome.
I mean it hasn't been on for like a decade.
I know that, but like I was a big fan, like that. You know, y'all recorded it, so.
Oh well, thank you.
Did you like when I was on doing movie reviews?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Doug. I got
Do you remember that Hugh Grant was in it too?
Yes.
All right, so
I just peed on myself, Doug. I forgot where I was.
Everybody wants to know what movies you missed, what is on this silly list. So let me break it down for you. Number 20, everybody forgot about Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
But it's only worth 1 point, so why mess with it? Yeah. Number 19... is Carlos. That's Carlos's jam because it's the Adam Sandler Longest Yard. is number 19 on the list.
Adam Sandler was in that too. That guy must like football.
Yeah, he did. He's done at least two football movies, and he tends to be play characters who are athletes a lot, like Happy Gilmore. And I know some people say golfers aren't athletes, but in Happy Gilmore, he was a hockey player too.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah, okay. So number 18 is the most depressing football movie made of all time. What's Brian that called, Song. Corey?
What? Brian Song. It has to be Brian Song.
I apologize. It's the second most depressing football movie ever made. Let me put it this way. It's depressing at the beginning, whereas Brian Song is depressing at the end. It's a movie called We Dead Are Guy Marshall. Playing.
Oh, We Are Marshall.
Yes.
Oh, no, that was a happy movie if you don't like Marshall.
Oh, that's horrible.
And if you like plane crashes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then number 17, I allowed it because, I just went with whatever they said, but they went off the rails here because Brian's Song is, in fact, a TV movie.
You're right.
So I really don't like to include those, but it is also a classic. So it was number 17. Yeah. And then Invincible was 16. 15, Ice Cube in The Long Shots.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Long Shots. Oh, okay.
Directed by Fred Durst.
No shit.
Yeah.
Dude, you the know what, man?
The Limp Bizkit guy made a movie and people like it.
Yeah, he actually did a couple of those, I feel like. I remember a couple years ago, he had like an indie darling or something that I mean,
if he's directing, why not hire him? He must come cheap.
Yeah.
You know, he does everything for the Nookie. What?
He does everything for the Nookie. Yeah.
Yeah. The craft service table is just a bunch of cookies.
And biscuits.
You don't want to see what he does with
hot dog water. All right. Number 14 was Waterboy. And number 13 was a movie that is often described as schmaltzy. I don't remember it very well, but it was called The Express.
I don't remember.
Oh, I think it was Dennis Quaid was in that, I think.
I don't remember that.
Number 12, Corey, you mentioned it earlier in the show and then didn't bring it back. Draft Day. Yeah.
My number buddy 11. W. Earl Brown. It's a good movie.
Yeah, number 11, I think somebody needs to apologize for because it is that movie that debuted on Apple TV starring Justin Timberlake called Palmer.
Yeah, I've seen that. It keeps coming up in my feed and I'm like, it looks like a ripoff of We Are Marshall because he's just wearing the same colors. So I didn't know it was. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, I think I saw it, but I obviously unmemorable. And then number 9 is School Ties.
What?
No idea.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I didn't even know football was what they played. I just pictured a locker room and anti-Semitism.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't even remember locker room stuff.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're thinking of Family Ties. And then
Yes. No.
I would
number 7. You mentioned Days of the Week, Eliza. Number 7 is Any Given Sunday.
Ah.
Dude, I love that movie, but critics shit on it.
It's not good.
The Longest Sunday and really
no, it's not good, but it's fun because Pacino's full Pacino being a fucking lunatic.
Yeah. It's all really ramped up. Like the hits out on the football field are really loud and it's very bombastic and less than fantastic. And then number 6 is I'd say it might be my favorite movie on the list. Warren Beatty plays a football player who dies in Heaven Can Wait.
Never seen it.
From the 70s. You should check it out sometime. It's really good.
Gonna watch it tonight, Doug, because mm-hmm. I respect you.
Oh, awesome. He co-directed it with Elaine May and
stress dreams about this movie.
Buck Henry was in there. What? He co-directed with Buck Henry and co-wrote with Elaine May or you know, something, some combination like that. And we got lots of Oscar love and it's really good. It's basically, it's a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan and the premise is, you know, a guy goes to heaven and they go, oops, we fucked up and, you know, we killed the wrong guy. And he's like, well, okay, put me back. And they're like, oh, it's too late to put you in the body's dead or whatever. He can't put you back. But we can put you back into another body. So he takes over some other guy's body.
And then Diane Cannon. And,
I love that.
Yeah, Diane Cannon, and yeah, it's really, it's got a stacked cast. Julie Christie, yeah. And it's really good. Okay.
Sorry. This is a trip. So it's like, it's just a movie that it's just basically like movies that have football in them a little bit. Because
oh no, this
might as well say sleepers. Then
the guy basically gets put in the body of a rich dude, and then this rich dude seems crazy because he buys a football team and insists on being the quarterback.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
And nobody's ever heard of the guy before, you know. So it's really, it's very entertaining. And he was murdered by his wife, I should mention. So then when the other guy comes back to lie, it's crazy. Okay, so the number five is a movie I've never heard of, and it was made for television again for the TNT network, and it's called Monday Night Mayhem.
No idea.
Yeah.
Another day of the week.
Yeah, but you know, somebody guessed it. It would have been worth some points, but as it turns out, Corey remains triumphant once again, and that means Corey, you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to promote?
I've already promoted Putting On Air, so bonuscorey.com. That is my Substack, where you can pay $5 a month to support my endeavors. I'm in the middle of preparing to do some short films, and by subscribing to my Substack, you can support me financially so that I can make these short films. So that, and just, you know, follow me on the socials. I'm at Corey R. Forrester on all of them. And I love you all, and I love Doug Moore.
What a great closing speech.
Thank you.
Eliza Skinner, what would you like to promote?
I don't really have much besides everything that I've had for the last few years, nothing new. So I'm going to promote Talking to Your Neighbors. I think you should,
I like it.
You know, say hi to your neighbors. You never know when something's going to happen, and it's good to know people in your neighborhood. I know we all kind of hate it, but they might have something in common with you. Just know the people around you.
I know it's early in the year, but that's the most altruistic plug I've heard so far.
I disagree with it, but I respect you for saying it.
Hey, even if you need to know them because they murder somebody, you know, you want to be able to pick them out of a police lineup. Like,
keep your enemies closer. Yeah, exactly. And Carlos Rodriguez, what you got going on, dude?
You can check me out on the podcast I do with a fellow comic, Brent Ernst, called Chains Out. And I'll be at the San Francisco Punchline February 14th through the 18th. And then with you, I think later on in the month of March.
Yeah, no, that's going to be super fun that you're going to be on the shows with me at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club at the Link in Vegas on March 1st and 2nd. Benson Movie Interruption is back at Dynasty Typewriter Tuesday, which probably tomorrow night, if you're listening to this, the day it comes out. And I'll be back at the Improv Lab in Hollywood on February 20th. And shows coming up in addition to Vegas, I'll also be in Chicago. And I got a show in Dayton, Kentucky coming up. And all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com. Thank you again to Corey Ryan Forrester, Eliza Skinner, and Carlos Rodriguez. And I always close every episode with the last line from a movie. So here it goes. As always, stick this in your trophy case.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.